You ever think about the invisible machinery that keeps a country running?
Oh, like the bureaucratic stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Not the politicians or the elections, but the actual nuts and bolts, like the paperwork that makes sure the air stays breathable and the water stays clean when a whole nation goes through this massive historical shift.
Right, which is completely chaotic usually.
Totally. So, welcome to our deep dive into exactly that. Today, we are looking at a single really fascinating source. The South African Environmental Laws Rationalization Act 51 of 1997.
It is, well, it's basically the ultimate administrative glue. Our mission today is to really understand how a nation stitches its fragmented environmental rules back together after literally redrawing its internal map.
Okay, let's unpack this. Picture the scene. It is 1997. South Africa is operating under this brand new constitutional dispensation, right? They're moving away
I
from
mean, it's
that.
hardly new era.
But on a purely administrative level, their environmental regulations are just completely fractured.
Oh, absolutely. You have this newly unified national territory, but legally, you're dealing with a patchwork quilt. I mean, the core function of this 1997 act was this massive operation to take the national environmental laws and explicitly extend them to what the text calls affected areas.
Affected areas, so like the old homelands.
Exactly. We're talking about former territories, the apartheid era homelands like Transkei, Bophuthatswana, Venda, Visky, and KwaZulu.
Wow.
And these places had been operating under their own, completely separate, disconnected legal systems for decades.
Trying to fix that. I mean, it's like trying to play a board game where half the players are using completely different rule
That
books.
is a great way to put it, yeah.
But I have to push back here. How did they prevent total legal gridlock when these systems collided? Like, if you just blanket apply national laws to regions that have been governing themselves for decades, doesn't that immediately wipe out local industries that were relying on those older, maybe more lenient rules?
Well, they anticipated that exact shockwave. And they solved the gridlock with a supremacy rule, which is found right in Section 5 of the Act.
Okay, how does that work?
The mechanism is just brilliantly blunt. It states that if any pre-1993 local laws in those affected areas conflict with the newly extended national laws, the national laws automatically prevail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So translating that to the real world, if a local 1985 law said a factory could dump toxic smoke into the air, but the newly extended Atmosphere Pollution Prevention Act of 1965,
Or, the Dumping and Sea Control Act of 1980.
right, if those national acts say they can't, the national act just immediately shuts them down. Game over.
Exactly. Game over. An absolute legal hierarchy was established overnight. The national standard wiped out any contradictory regional loopholes, ensuring a uniform environmental baseline across the entire republic.
Cleaning up the map like that must have been a massive undertaking. Did they actually catch everything? It sounds impossible to review every single local statute across all those territories without missing bizarre edge cases.
Oh, they got incredibly granular. If you
Okay.
look at Schedule 2 of the document, the law didn't just extend boundaries. They went through and scrubbed out archaic language across the
So
board.
grabbed out language. Like what?
Well, updating obsolete terms like changing House of Assembly to the new National Assembly.
Yeah.
But they also updated the South African Citizens in Antarctica Act of 1962.
Wait, Antarctica.
Yeah.
Why would an Internal Environmental Rationalization Act suddenly care about which specific city handles Antarctic affairs? Because they relocated legal oversight from Pretoria to Cape Town.
They did.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating here is that this isn't just bureaucratic housekeeping. It's a geographic and administrative modernization.
Okay, how so?
Well, think about it. Pretoria is a totally landlocked administrative capital.
Oh, right. Nowhere near the ocean, making it a terrible place to run maritime expeditions from.
Exactly. So just as they updated political terms to match the new democracy, they logically shifted Antarctic oversight to Cape Town, which is this major coastal maritime hub at the southern tip of the continent.
That makes total sense.
Right. It's the natural launching pad for Antarctic expeditions. It's a perfect example of how this act was about aligning the law with physical and practical reality.
So they were basically tuning up the engine while the car was driving.
Essentially, yeah.
But stepping back, why should you, the listener, care about a dense 1997 legal document?
Because it reminds us that environmental protection isn't just about, planting trees or saving wildlife. It relies entirely on this invisible legal scaffolding.
Right, the administrative baseline.
Exactly. The quality of the air you breathe and the shores you walk on are directly dictated by administrative acts, just like this one, setting those baseline rules.
And if the scaffolding is broken, the protections just fall apart. Which brings us to a final thought for you to chew on.
Yeah.
Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and your own region's political boundaries were completely redrawn. If those maps were suddenly erased and rewritten, which legacy environmental rules protecting your literal backyard would survive the transition, and which ones would simply vanish into history?